We're going to turn for our text, though we will go hither and thither through the Bible during the course of what it is I have to say to you, but we're turning for our text to the little book of Jude. The little book of Jude. Some of you may know that we have been writing a little commentary on this book and putting it up on our website. And my mind has been very much occupied by this wonderful book. It's a small little book. It's a small little book, but it is a wonderful book. It's a wonderful book. It's almost a condensed Bible. It touches upon just about every truth that is dealt with perhaps at greater length in other books of the Bible. And I want us to just read for a moment and make the basis of our comment. The verse 3, familiar to you, oh so familiar. Oh so familiar. Verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Our emphasis will be on those words. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I want to speak today upon that which has troubled me for quite some time. When you're retired, you are free from many of the obligations that face the man in pastoral work. He has to grapple with continual difficulties that arise within the congregation and the needs of the congregation, but when you retire, you can set that aside and your mind concentrates on a much smaller field of concerns. And I want to give relief to my soul today by speaking upon a subject that has been of concern to me. I want to speak on a subject which I have entitled Wanted: Dogs That Bark. I believe there is a great need today in the Church of Jesus Christ for dogs that will bark. The nation, that is the United Kingdom, along with a number of other nations in the world, have in these recent times been marking the 70th anniversary of the victory of the Allies over Hitler's Nazi Germany. That victory in 1945 in Europe marked the end of 6 years of bitter warfare that really no one today in the United Kingdom can have any comprehension of, except those who perhaps are old enough to remember just a little of the experiences of the people of our kingdom. The 6 years of warfare was marked by the sounding of warnings and alarms every day. Indeed, those warnings and alarms intensified from the very beginning of the war and continued right throughout it. There were posters everywhere related to the war, warning people that if they heard anything, they were not to repeat it. Be careful where they conversed with a friend, because there may be somebody listening. And secrecy and security was very much pressed upon the minds of the ordinary citizen in the land. Of course, there were the sounds of air raid sirens, unknown today to the vast majority of the population, and I suppose almost forgotten by those who can remember the sound of them. But oh, what a heart-chilling sound that was to the people 70 years ago, because they knew what it signified. They knew the death and the destruction, and thereafter the sorrow and the grief and the tears that would result from the air raid. Radio broadcasts were constantly issuing warnings and alarms against the ever-present danger that faced our fathers and mothers back then. Now, we today are familiar with alarms, though of a slightly more innocuous form, what with car alarms and house alarms, etc. They don't carry, I can tell you, the same chilling reaction that those wartime air raid sirens conveyed to those who heard them. Speaking of alarms, I want to tell you that the Bible is a book of alarms. Its writers have been sent of God to sound an alarm. Indeed, in one place, God makes clear that his servants are to be watchmen. And you know that watchmen are challenged and commanded to sound an alarm should they perceive any danger approaching. Every preacher who stands in the pulpit is a watchman, charged with the duty of watching out for the well-being of the people of God and sounding an alarm where it is necessary. Here's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verse 2, and I would urge you to look for yourself. I used to say to you here, that when you hear it read and when you see it there in the Bible before you, that makes a double impression upon you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2, feed the flock of God. He's speaking to elders, ministers. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, earthly reward, but of a ready mind. That word oversight rightly means looking diligently. Taking the looking diligently after, over the flock of God, is what Peter is saying. That's how the word is translated in Hebrews and the chapter 12. And the verse 15, it's worth while just looking it up. You'll remember it very well. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So this oversight, this watch care of the flock of God is a looking diligently out for their well-being. That's what's entailed. That's what lies at the heart of the gospel. In Isaiah, the chapter 56, there's an interesting word spoken by the Lord. Please turn to it. Isaiah chapter 56, and it's the verse 10. And here the prophet is castigating the weakness, the failure of the prophets of his day. And these are the words of God directed to the failing prophets through the mouth of Isaiah. Isaiah 56 verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping. Lying down. Loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. There's a description given of the false prophet, the false minister, the false shepherd. But it's quite interesting to note that God here would indicate that a good servant of God, a good minister, should be like a good watchdog. I was thinking, even as I was coming to the service today, you know, that the dog doesn't have a very honourable mention in the Bible. Dogs were not treated in biblical times as the pampered poodles are today. The dog was kept at a distance, and its one function was to act as a watchdog and to bark when necessary. That God should use such an animal of low standing to illustrate the role of his servants is worth consideration, especially by preachers. There is a great tendency, you know, and always has been the case, for preachers themselves and those associated with the preacher to begin to look upon themselves as somebody very important, somebody of standing. I believe the ministry is going in the wrong direction when it begins to take on airs and graces of that nature. God says we're only dogs that have one function to perform, and that is to bark. And what I am saying agrees very much with what Paul says in 1 Corinthians in the chapter 1, where he indicates that the preaching of the gospel and those who preach the gospel are looked upon as being foolish. You know the passage. You can start reading it, verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and you will see the context there in which Paul acknowledges how the world thinks upon the gospel as a foolish thing, and they think upon the minister as a foolish being, the preacher of folly. The man of God, full of the Spirit of God, and earnestly serving the Lord, will never, never be highly thought of. He'll never be highly thought of. Turn on over in Corinthians to the chapter 4. The chapter 4, and we're looking at the verse 11. Verse 10, be better to start there. For we are fools for Christ's sake. A faithful man of God will never be thought of anything other than as a fool. An irritating fool that many would wish would shut up. We're only meant to be dogs that bark. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honourable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labour, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer. It being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscourings of all things unto this day. The word offscourings there, let me tell you, it's a terrible base word that depicts that which is absolutely of no value, a distasteful, obnoxious thing. This was how the mighty men of God, the great apostles, the men whose whose ministry blessed the world and still does, were looked upon. So when God says that his servants are to be dogs, and he picks an animal of no standing within the context of Scripture, we must learn from that. Minister can never really expect to be anything. Certainly not in the context of the world's opinions. He'd never be looked on as anybody of any significance or any wisdom or any standing. He's only there to be despised. I was thinking, you know, that the old watchdog, when it does its job, when it barks, very rarely is the dog thanked. Very rarely. Especially if it's in the middle of the night and he's sounding an alarm at something that's happening. What does he get? Abuse. Dog's abuse, indeed. And if there's something handy to throw at him, then it'll be thrown at him. And yet the old dog's only doing what its instinct requires it to do and what its duty is. Sounding an alarm. Sounding an alarm. Now, overall, then, and I would commend these words to ministers, overall, the faithful man of God is going to have to bear with the reproach that comes with the task that God has given to him. We're watchdogs, servants who must diligently look out for the flock of God, especially for anything that threatens it, and sound the alarm. Now in Jude, in that little verse that we read together in Jude, that's exactly what Jude was doing. And it was this watching out for the flock of God that has given us this wonderful little book. It was necessary, he says, for me to write unto you and tell you that there's danger threatening and you must earnestly contend for the faith. It's a call to arms, which, if I might put it like this, which the barking of Jude brought to the attention of the people of God. I want to say some things related to this today. I don't know how far I'll get, but we'll do our best. God's people need to be informed of the threats that come from the devil and from all his agents in this world today. God's people need that. They need to be informed. They will not of themselves see the danger. They'll not of themselves see the danger. Indeed, I have to say that a minister doesn't of himself see the danger. It is as he walks with God that God will show him the danger and say, now you tell my people. And God's people do need to be told. And I say these things today out of a heart concern for, I suppose, primarily the Free Presbyterian people in Ulster. What a need there is for those people to be warned of the dangers that face us. Of course, it's not just the Free Presbyterians. I'm thinking of God's people everywhere, but particularly Free Presbyterian people. I have been concerned at the silence that there has been in our little province, where once the voice of warning was heard so clearly, denouncing every false way that emerged from the darkness to threaten the people of God. There's a silence. Now I have no doubt that there are ministers, many ministers, in the Free Presbyterian Church who in their own pulpits are sounding out a warning. But there was a time when the voice of the Free Presbyterian Church was heard from one end of the land to the other. And it's that silence that concerns me greatly. You know, brethren and sisters, all of us would be at an utter loss if we were not given directions by God. Left to yourself, you will get lost. You will go in the wrong direction. I don't care how wise you are. That's what will happen to you. And you'll end up in the wrong place, in the wrong company, saying the wrong things and doing the wrong things. David penned those famous words in Psalm 119, the verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Wise David? Yes, I have gone astray like a lost sheep, and furthermore, I can't find my way home. Seek thy servant. Seek thy servant. The sheep is a wonderfully accurate and humbling picture of the Christian. I talked about the minister being likened unto a dog. Well, here's God's picture of the Christian, a sheep. Now you know that the poor old sheep has gained for itself a reputation for dumbness. I'll never forget, on one occasion, talking to a Free Presbyterian farmer, he had called at the house and he was just heading out to look the sheep. And he said, will you walk with me? So out we went, and he wasn't too long in a field, because it was coming up the lambing time, and he was, look at that stupid ewe, as it's pronounced here, lying down to lamb where? On the very bank of a steep decline that ended up in a river. Look at where it goes to lamb, he says. Stupid, dumb animal. Soon as the lamb's born, it will be struggling about and down into the river. And that's the end. You know, most animals will look for a place of safety and security, but the poor old sheep, and he went on to that day, not particularly desiring to show me lessons, but the day just unfolded, and I saw lesson after lesson regarding the dumbness of the sheep. And God paints us just like them. That's why we need to be watched over. That's why God has appointed watchmen. Watch dogs to sound the alarm. God's word has told us of the tendencies and inclinations of the devil and his agencies. In God's word, there is a revelation given us of the dangers that threaten us from the devil and from all that he exercises any influence over. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And we're not ignorant of the devil's devices because of the revelation given us of the devil and his devices by the word of God. And it's the duty of the minister to preach upon these things. As he studies the word of God, he sees the devil's hand at work. His eyes are opened, enlightened, anointed, directed by the Spirit of God to see the threat. And then he expounds what God's word has to say about the ways of the devil. That little word devices there means quite literally his mind. In other words, we might read this verse as we are not ignorant of his mind. The Bible gives you an insight into the mind of the devil. Now that's an important thing. That's an important thing. What an advantage that gives us over the devil. If we would but take heed. If we would but use the information. How advantaged we would be in our resistance of the devil and our tackling of the devil's temptations. It's little wonder that the devil attacks the Bible so, since revealed in it are his mind, his plans, his thinking, his desires. It's all laid out there. And he's furiously trying to close this book, get you not to look at it. Because if you look at it and it's preached, there will be to a very large degree a hindering of the ways of the devil and a stopping of the successes that he would otherwise enjoy. But all we have to heed the Bible, and it has to be preached to us by the minister. That's why we need dogs that bark. Dogs that bark. While I might say we read the Bible, we ought to note carefully how the whole tenor of Scripture is designed to raise our alertness. That's what is the emphasis all in the Bible. A sounding alarm to raise your alertness. I think all too often Christians come to the Bible and they carelessly read it and they say, oh, I've read that before, and I remember seeing something of that before, and there's no heed taken. There is not the attention being given. And yet here God is revealing the dangers you face from the devil and his agents in this world. And how wrong we would be to be careless about these things. Do you remember Peter? And all these incidents that we have written for us in the Bible, do remember they're written for our learning. It wasn't to embarrass Peter that God wrote about his foolishness. It wasn't to embarrass Aaron or Moses or Miriam or David or the hundreds of others whose mistakes, whose sins, whose follies, whose fallings are recorded in the Bible. It wasn't to embarrass them that God recorded those things. It was for your learning. For you to learn from their folly, from their mistakes. The Lord said on that well-known occasion, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The Lord had warned Peter, you know, before the dawn, you're going to deny me. The devil desires to sift you as wheat. And Peter gave absolutely no heed to what the Lord said. He treated what the Lord said. Well, we'll be as gentle as we can in describing his treatment of the Lord's word. He treated it carelessly. I feel you could employ words like disdain and anger, but we'll not employ those words. But he as much as said to the Savior, you don't know me. I'm not going to do what you say I'm going to do. I'm ready to do anything to stand up for you. He had a very highly exalted opinion of himself. And it was because of that he treated the word of the Lord so carelessly. And the Lord warned him of his actions as a result of the devil's temptations. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Listen, men and women. Don't treat the warnings of God's word given in the scriptures, as did Peter, this particular warning, but give heed to it. If you don't give heed to it, then you will fall under the temptation of the devil. And you will have recorded against you that which is recorded against Peter. The dreadful, dreadful denials of the Savior. The repeated, fearsome denials of Peter. of his Savior. Of his Savior in the hour of his reproach. He failed him. All because he didn't heed the warning. All because he didn't hear the sound of the alarm. Oh, the Bible would have us read it, listening out for the alarms. Let me come to a second point very quickly. Time is running out on me. All ministers have the task of informing God's people of the dangers. That's the task of the minister. Primary task. Many ministers would disagree with that. They would argue with that. The Psalm 23 is known as the Shepherd's Psalm, written by David, and written in the light of his experiences as a shepherd. And you remember what you read there in the opening of the Psalm 23, how that David talks about his shepherd, the Lord, how that he causes him to lie down in green pastures, and how he leads him beside the still waters. And yes, that's a primary function of a shepherd, to lead the sheep to good pasture and to water. After all, the sheep are there to be fattened. And the shepherd must give attention to the needs of the sheep regarding these things. But it doesn't end there. The shepherd's duty do not end there. Many ministers would say, oh, it's just my task to preach the gospel. Just to preach the gospel. I might take up just what the gospel entails. But when that statement is made, it really is just a saying, I'm here to tell men they're sinners, they need to be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior of men, and they must come to Him by faith. That's all I have to preach. That's the emphasis of my ministry. To lead them to the good pasture and the still waters. But David illustrates that there was more to being a shepherd than that. When in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David volunteers to go forth and fight Goliath. He was only a lad, he was only a teenager. There were those who immediately doubted his ability to do such, including Saul, the king. He says, you're only a lad, you're only a stripling. He's a man of war from his youth. He's been at this business for years. Then David called upon his experiences as a shepherd, and he says this. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17, the verses 34 to 36. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. There's a little more to being a shepherd than leading the sheep to green pastures and still waters. Here's the other side. The watchdog sounded the alarm, and it also went forth to meet the enemy. I would that there were not only men in this country that would bark, but would bait as well. You know, it's on occasions like this that my mind floods with memories of Ian Paisley. And he was a preacher. I remember him when he was the only voice in Ulster. I remember him when he met the challenge of every apostate and ecumenist and pope head in the country. And he met them head on. And to use the language of David, he caught them by their beard and he slew them. Spiritually speaking, of course. Oh, what fondness I have for the memory of that great man in those days. He was to me the epitome of a good minister of Jesus Christ. And that's what's needed today. God raise up another Ian Paisley in our country. One like David. One like David. The church is in a bad state, you know, when, and I mean the church in the broadest sense, when her watchmen are, as they were in the days of Isaiah, blind, ignorant, all dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. What good is an animal of that nature? No good at all. Well, we need barking dogs today. We need ministers who have the keen ear, the keen eye, and the keen nose that smells out the enemies of the Lord and immediately leaps up to sound the alarm and go out and face them. That's what's needed. That's what ministers are to do. To do fulfill that duty, they must study the Bible. They must study the Bible. You know, during World War II, it was common for pilots as well as men in the Royal Navy to be given silhouettes of enemy ships so that they could tell when gazing from a great distance upon a ship who it was, what it was. Was it an enemy ship or was it a friendly ship? And they carried these silhouettes that were given to them when they were on duty and on a mission. During the times of IRA terrorism, every policeman, every UDR patrol had within its possession pictures of wanted IRA men that they might know who it was they were looking for. And they were required to study these photographs and familiarize themselves with them again and again and again. The minister must study the Word of God in order that he might be aware of the dangers that face the people of God. And once he sees the danger, then he must sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. Sound it clearly. Sound it plain. Not a hint. Not a broad hint that there may be something that is of concern to us. No! Paul, writing in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14:8, said, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for the battle? The man who sounded the trumpet of alarming, he gave forth a sound known to everybody. Didn't play a nice little melody. But he sounded that which would pierce into the hearing and the heart of all in the army that they might know there's danger. So the preacher must so preach. Plainly. Not hinting. Not leaving people to puzzle things out like a Times crossword. A few hints and suggestions that, if studied long enough, might lead you to the solution. That's not how to preach! But a plain word. A plain word. And let me just quickly close by saying that where there is such a ministry, earnest contending for the faith will follow on. The church will be aroused. The early history of the Free Presbyterian Church demonstrates this. The warnings and the exhortations of Ian Paisley and a few like-minded ministers gave rise to a contending band of believers whose witness shook Ulster. Some of you here can remember how when you were in your sins and darkness and lost and on your way to hell, there came to you a sound that awoke you to your own danger and then recruited you to form a resistance and to raise your voice now in unison with the voices of others to sound the alarm in the country. Where is that today? Where is that today? I tell you, if the pulpit is doing its task, if there is a ministry conducted in the light of the few comments I've made, I have no doubt that this will be the result. There will be an army of contenders. That's what we read in Jude. His warning was in order to raise contention for the truth. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Listen to me. These words of Jude have down through the centuries been the means of raising up contenders. I have no doubt that Knox and Luther and the English reformers and reformers everywhere would have heard the sound uttered by Jude and heard his call to contention. It certainly was the case in the Free Presbyterian Church in the early days. How often these words of Jude would have been reported. I leave the matter with you there. Time has gone. But dear Christian, pray that God will give us in Ulster dogs that will bark and alarm the church to the dangers that face us today. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, write your word on our hearts. Write your word, Lord. Let the Spirit of God take up his own words. And Lord, may there be an alarming of thy people everywhere. And O God, may there be a going forth to face the enemy, a facing up to the enemy. For Lord, we can yet, by thy grace, enjoy victory. We see the marching forward, Lord, of sodomy and every other filthy corruption. We hear the voices raised within the established churches in sympathy and support of this wickedness. But Lord, few there are that seem to care, and fewer still to pray among us. Have mercy on us, Lord. Waken us up. Revive us, Lord. We ask of thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.